Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I think sometimes the news media is the worst enemy. And thank God for the internet, because lots of killings going on, people wasn't playing it up. Now, they weren't playing up all the killings, the robbing, they didn't play it up. Now it's making the butt up. How many killed in Detroit? How many got killed in New York? How many got killed in Los Angeles? Okay? They play all that up now. They talking about the shooting. All the shooting in America is more people dying on drugs than all the shooting. But the press, the newspaper, and the TV can't blow. Oh, John got killed. Robert got killed. But what about 100 in the bird took an overdose and died? Over 1,000 people died in 2 weeks on that dope, probably more than that, coming in from China, coming in from Russia, coming in from all those foreign countries we're going to be fighting. Now, I want to say, you can't talk about the black. Trump had papers like Biden. What's going on in government? What's going on? They lie so much, and you got a guy that lies, and the president ain't said nothing about it, and the head of the Republican Party won't even speak on it. We up with full of lies all over again. Storms back to back, floods back to back. It's gonna keep coming. It's gonna keep coming. To find somebody that's gonna tell the truth and help other people. Tonight, I'm asking you to start Sunday burn lights in the daytime in honor of a great man, Dr. Martin Luther King. And that's very important. Where do we go from here? What do we do? We're in the midst of dope crisis. We're in the midst of psychological warfare and witchcraft. We're in the midst of bombing. We're in the midst right now of psychological warfare. And I said in my prophecy, Sister Tanya's prophecy, well, I said there would be floods back to back, storms back to back. That would be so hot in the Midwest in the summer months. From Mississippi, Georgia, I would take it to the Gulf. We will have floods in April and maybe over to May. And you can take this down. Some of the things that happen to us because we haven't changed. We got political prisoner. I'm going to say it. R. Kelly is in jail because he's a sex predator. I mean, a white sex predator and rape women, period. Ain't nowhere. Congressmen, mayors, and governors came over in handcuffs. We didn't come over and make flowers. We come on good ship, Jesus, in the bow of the ship. Okay. Hitler killed 6 million. How many people are white folks been killed that ain't told you about? Dr. King, and I want to elaborate that, if America to be a great country, you got to deal with the truth. The wages of sin is you can set up your home, homosexual. It's all right for two men to marry. You know you're a lie. Two women's getting married. That ain't right. It's a divine law. And Dr. King stood with the divine law. If the man-made law ain't right, I got to stick with God's law. But some of you have strayed away, gone with what the world doing. Little kids, 13 or 14, they cartoon, homosexual cartoons. Two men kiss on national TV. It's our companies. That's gone. But by and by, the axe at the root of the tree. God, Dr. King was talking about this. Give us our chip. You know, one of the things I want to say, everybody got reparation made for black men. Italian got it. The Jews got it. Even the Native Americans got the land. They built casinos. The black man been here all his life. We made Mississippi great, made Louisiana great by sugar cane, made Virginia great by tobacco, all through Texas great by oil. All black men found his place in America. Until the black man find his place in America, he's going to have floods, storms, mass killing, because at the top ain't right. I want to give honor tonight to Illinois, who passed the assault weapon ban. That's all right. But then some of the chief opposes need to be stopped and we ain't go back. It's the law. If you're a sergeant, if you're running a police department, you don't go back. You are not fit. You're running the game. You rogue police. They got machine guns that you fight in Vietnam in the war in Ukraine. Now, Dr. King was living. He was about the assault weapon. The Congress, not the national law. Dr. King will talk about the drugs that's coming in. Dr. King will talk about the widespread of miseducation of our children. And it draws them to bring guns to school for protection. The school system in America is down and getting ready for penitentiary. That's the kind of education system we got. Dr. King was living. We talk about fair housing for everybody. Dr. King would say, open our eyes. And I'm going to say tonight, I'm going to keep saying it all this year, free Larry Hoover, free Jeff for all the other little prisoners. You know, a man to keep even he got there. His two young men in jail for life, they ain't killed nobody, they ain't harmed nobody. But the system, we need to out. We need them to stay in jail. And recently, the judge said, Larry Hoover was the most dangerous black man in America. That's a lie. See how the paper put that up, lie? Trump was the most dangerous man and still the most dangerous man in the game. Cowboys on the police department, in the FBI, in the CIA. Those are dangerous people. If Dr. King he would bring us out of this poverty, this jealousy, this hate that we're doing to each other. It's an upsurge of men killing women killing men. It's an upsurge of people. They call Latino refugees. Those refugees in Bush didn't come down right away. People drowned, alligators ate people. But now the turn phases. Now these white phases, I ain't heard now paper said they were refugees, and they refugees. They got on that bus from Texas, they refugees. They are not citizens of America. They ain't built in, they ain't got no tax in them, but they're getting tax money. Money that you work for. They in the hotel that they're paying for. Who paid for the bus to bring him up here? Some refugees. Until you understand, a refugee is not America. They're refugees. I don't care how they fail, Trump bites on the bus load back because their face was black. It's a color hang-up with America. When we solve that color hang-up, we're going to still have hate, killing, and murder. We're going to continue ahead. Thank you.
Father, open eyes that we may
out what God told him to do. It's going to have death after death flood after flood and understand what's put to be. So that's the important thing I'm saying to you. Wake up and deal with it. Don't forget, if you got a need, proceed. And right now, I'm about to King. There's a service tomorrow downtown. Benny Thompson will be here for me. Benny Thompson will tell me the one that against Trump. I want to say this about Trump and about O'Biden, both of them. Two pots dirty. You can't talk about both of them, Trump and Biden. What are you doing with the minute papers that polls are there in the White House? You, the tea killer can't talk about the pot, both of them black. We need people that are going to do something for this. I got a problem sending all the money to refugees. So the Ukraine, you got people here in Mississippi, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Alabama, that can't even get the roof on their house to throw them bloated away with all the money going out of the country to refugees. And right here, you got people can't get a meal. Gas going up. What's this all about? We need strong leaders. We need the Republican and the Dixiecrat leader. We need people that are going to do right. We got to bring love back into the scenario. That's what we got to bring, love. And it ain't happening. Everybody for everybody. Ain't nobody for them, for the people. And that's what that what he was saying, that had to happen for all of us to open up. And that's what one thing.
This information. They have us standing around sometimes and pointing at the brothers and saying, yeah, that's them over there. They ain't no good. They doing this and that and the other, and it's all negative. And they have us thinking that the black man is going to die and we going to live on. But that's not how it's going to go. There is still one monolith in the black community, and that's that it still takes a man and a woman to make a baby. So if the black man dies, we all die. And I don't want to die. I want to live. I want my children and my grandchildren and whatever else is coming after Charizard. I want
will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come.
Deal with this problem. Deal with this problem of two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. And let me say that struggle for civil rights, struggle to make these two Americas one America. It's much more difficult today than about 10 years, maybe 12 years. We struggled all across the South in glorious struggle. We get legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. To a lunch corner and so many innocent people get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public accommodation was segregated. All we had to sit in the back and conversation with any civilians, we often have to stand or we have to speak of segregation. Did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. The struggle was to deal with these problems. Certainly they were difficult problems, were humiliating. And by the thousands of people with these conditions, make sure that it was so much more honorable to respect failed experiences and to accept segregation and humiliation. 5,000 students who decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protect conditions there. When they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American speaking. Back to those great wells of democracy, which was dug deep by the founding fathers of the country.
I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war. The bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I accept the Nobel cries for peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice. I accept this award on behalf of the civil rights movement, which is moving with determination and a majestic scorn for risk and danger to establish a reign of freedom and a rule of justice. I'm mindful that only yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, our children crying out for brotherhood were answered with fire hoses, snarling dogs, and even death. I am mindful that only yesterday in Philadelphia, Mississippi, young people seeking to secure the right to vote were brutalized and murdered. I am mindful that debilitating and grinding poverty afflicts my people and chains them to the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Therefore, I must ask why this prize is awarded to a movement which is beleaguered and committed to unrelenting struggle, to a movement which has not yet won the very peace and brotherhood which is the essence of the Nobel Prize. After contemplation, I conclude that this award which I receive on behalf of that movement is a profound recognition that nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time, the need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to violence and oppression. Civilization and violence are antithetical concepts. Negroes of the United States, following the people of India, have demonstrated that nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. Sooner or later, all the peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace and thereby transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood. If this is to be achieved, man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. The torturous road which has led from Montgomery, Alabama to Oslo bears witness to this truth. This is a road over which millions of Negroes are traveling to find a new sense of dignity. This same road has opened for all Americans a new era of progress and hope. It has led to a new civil rights bill, and it will, I am convinced, be widened and lengthened into a superhighway of justice as Negro and white men in increasing numbers create alliances to overcome their common problems. I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the idea that the isness of man's present nature makes him morally incapable of reaching up for the eternal oughtness that forever confronts him. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice, lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men.
Hello, everybody. This is Brother Calvin, and welcome to the Seed of Abraham Network, with that on Blog Talk Radio. Our first show that we have is on Sundays at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and it's called Sunday Mornings with the Bishop. On Mondays, we have the MLK Movement, and that comes on from 10 o'clock p.m. to 11 o'clock p.m. on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we have Crossing Over with the Ancestors. That comes on at 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesdays, we have Wednesday Night Bible Studies, and that starts at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. On Thursdays, we have
In a peculiar way. It is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion. To fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically, the nest is rather crude and rough. But then as that nest graduates toward a finish, it is said that the material becomes finer and finer and finally soft and downy. Let cotton, so that the little eaglets can be comfortable in the nest. But when those eaglets have grown up and ought to be out scuffling for themselves, that parent eagle push them out of the nest, take them upon her back, fly out into the blue yonder. And when they are unsuspecting, she dives from beneath them and leave them flopping their little wings, trying to stay aloft. It is said that she circles around above them and watches them while they struggle. And she knows when they have become exhausted. She knows when they can't stay aloft any longer. And when they are about to go down, she dives beneath them and catches them on her back. I think God does us like us. God does us like that sometimes. I believe that sometimes we find ourselves in the comfortable nest of circumstances, luxury or security or both, and we get so comfortable we don't bother to struggle. We are satisfied right.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism.